Welcome to the Generations Radio Broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson. I'm Executive Director for Christian Home Educators of Colorado, but also a pastor and a father of five trying to gain a biblical vision for the family. In a day where 40% of kids are born without fathers, up from 6% in 1960, 95% of people getting married confess to premarital sex, the family coming apart at the seams. And we're trying to reintegrate the family with a biblical vision for the family, a biblical vision for manhood, for womanhood. And so you say you got to go to the Bible, and you got to read the Word, and then you got to figure out how to incarnate this. What does this look like lived out in our family's life? Who can find a virtuous woman? Proverbs 31. Who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies? The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works willingly with her hands. She's like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and gives meat to her household. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. Folks, this passage is hard to apply to a slave-based economy where women work for corporate managers. You know, it doesn't say the heart of her boss doth safely trust in her so that he shall have no need of spoil. Yeah, ask yourself, whose household economy is she managing? See, it says she shall do her husband good and not evil all the days of her life. She manages the household of her husband. Now, in the New Testament, she's called the oikos despotel, the despot of the home, the manager, the overseer of the home. She produces, she buys, she sells, she considers a field, she plants a vineyard. We call this entrepreneurism today. This is what we call it. Now, I realize that we don't see much of this in slave-based economies, and it's incredibly sad that the concept of the oikonomia, that is the family-based economy, economics comes from the Greek word oikonomia, which is the vision of the household, the vision of the family. And we've lost the idea that the family is the basic economic unit, because in the modern age, it's the individual that is the basic economic unit, not the families. The family has been so fragmented, the family is irrelevant, socially speaking, economically speaking, educationally speaking. The family is irrelevant. The family hardly exists anymore, and it's hardly a relevant institution in society. Well, we're trying to regain the family as a relevant economic unit in the 21st century, folks. And as we try to frame this vision, the Generations Radio team is producing a series of programs we call Entrepreneurial Moms. These are hero moms that are beautiful incarnations of the Proverbs 31 vision, trying to bring back a biblical concept of womanhood, a biblical concept of the reintegrated family in the 21st century. Now, today we have a great story that we want to tell you. But first, there are a lot of benefits to the entrepreneurial momhood concept that we're bringing to the program. And here they are. Here they are. Real quick. Number one, education has got to be life integrated. Now, I deal with that in my book, Upgrade the 10 Secrets to the Best Education for Your Child. Education's got to be life integrated. And there's nothing better than some humming business in your home where our children are involved in actually applying their education to real life all the time, every day, with maybe the exception of the Sabbath or Sunday. Okay, so that's the first thing. Education can be life integrated if you have a business happening in the middle of that education. And that happens when you can. And that happens when you bring your children into your entrepreneurial endeavors within the oikonomia in the home. Okay, so education can be life integrated in this entrepreneurial home-based business. Number two, moms should feel like they contribute to the producing of income. Forget this idea that women are consumers and dad's the producer. That's not what I get from Proverbs 31. If you've got a mom entrepreneur, then you've got the opportunity for a mom to be engaged in producing within the economic venture of the home. Thirdly, moms can stay connected with their children and integrate family relationships in an age where the family has been radically fragmented, where the family has been utterly destroyed. Now see, within the home entrepreneurial endeavor, we can reintegrate family relationships. And then finally, here's the final benefit. It's that mom doesn't need to feel like she's independent of the family economy, as in the modern socialist context. But see, at the same time that she's not independent of the family, she's dependent upon the family, she's still able to manage a family economy such that she can keep it going if her husband passes away. And that does happen from time to time. Now, in just a moment, we want to talk about the beautiful and unique story of Marilyn Mull and the Urban Homemaker on this edition of Generations. There's tragedy and blessing in the life that God gives us here on earth. And these are the sorts of stories that I think will beautifully incarnate the principles that we find in Proverbs 31. Well, Marilyn Mull is next on Generations. Stay with me. This is Kevin Swanson.
Generations of Knowing Him is the theme for the 25th Annual Christian Family Conference coming to the Denver Merchandise Mart June 18th through the 20th. Join hundreds of Christian families from across Colorado and attend a variety of challenging and encouraging seminars on 70 topics. Keynote speakers include Bill Jack, Kevin Swanson, and Little Bear Wheeler. Join us on Thursday, June 18th for a special all-day biblical family seminar featuring popular speakers James and Stacy McDonald. Visit the exhibit hall with curriculum from over 200 vendors, including youth entrepreneurs. It all happens at the 25th Annual Christian Family Conference at the Denver Merchandise Mart, June 18 to 20, presented by Christian Home Educators of Colorado. Register today. Hurry and save on pre-conference pricing. For more information and to register, go online to check.org. That's C-H-E-C.org.
Welcome back to this edition of Generations, another edition of our series called Entrepreneurial Moms. And today we have a very unique story, a story of God's blessing, God's provision, and some difficulty and challenge. And I think that pretty much represents everybody's life as we live it for God here on earth. But we really want to focus in on this issue of entrepreneurism. And with me is Marilyn Mull. She owns and operates Urban Homemaker. And she is a true first-generation homeschool mom, and by God's all-wise providence, she was recently widowed. But Marilyn, we have been friends since way back in Aurora in the early 1990s. I'm sure you remember those days.
I do. It's amazing, Kevin, to think that, you know, we've known each other for so many years, and I just want to say my husband really respected you.
Well,
greatly, and I want to thank you for inviting me.
I considered him a very sweet man, a good friend, and I think we gained some real vision from him in the early 1990s when we were just starting out with homeschooling. I'm thinking 1992. Daniel was a year or two old at that time, and we had just moved to Colorado, but at that time you had just started your business called the Urban Homemaker. And I want to talk a little bit about how that got started, but I know that I've read your article on some of these things, and your husband, Dwayne, really had a vision for a home-based economy early on.
He did, Kevin. When we hadn't been married very long. I don't even know if we had children then. Probably we did, but he started talking about wanting to have a mail-order business and always having been employed by somebody else, and my father always having been employed by somebody else. I had never seen a home business modeled, so I really didn't know what he was talking about or how to do it.
Yeah, and, you know, when you're just starting out on something like this, it can be a little scary.
there's way more than a little scary.
Big challenges here. Some big challenges.
Huge.
Yeah.
You really have to put your trust in the Lord.
Yeah, yeah. In that sense, you know, this is a test of faith. You're stepping out in faith. And it, really, Dwayne sort of quit his day job as well, as I recall. He didn't have a regular corporate job as you were building up your entrepreneurial endeavors.
Right. Well, Dwayne was so strongly motivated to be self-employed and to be home with the kids, that he wanted to start a consulting business, which he did, and he had work for a while, and then it stopped.
Yeah.
And so we did struggle for over a year before he got full-time employment, and meanwhile, I just had a little hobby.
Mm-hmm.
teaching bread baking classes for a Parks and Recreation District. And then eventually my little hobby turned into a business where we had to make a decision. Was he going to come home or were we going to employ people?
Yeah. Did you intend to have a business when you started that hobby? I mean, was that part of your vision or did you sort of fall into it?
No, I totally fell into it. When I quit a full-time job to stay home with my daughter, she was about 14 months. And so I did set some goals for myself. Having been busy in the corporate world, you kind of coming home is quite an adjustment. And so one of the goals I set was to start baking our family's bread. And so I did that, and eventually I started teaching classes. And then people started asking me about where I got the equipment. So it was really just a hobby, and I just walked through the doors that got opened over time. And it definitely did not happen in a year or overnight.
Mm-hmm. Could you say that this is something you enjoyed? You call it a hobby. Was it something you enjoyed from the get-go?
Oh, absolutely. I was very encouraged by some information that Mary Pride wrote back in the 80s.
Okay.
And she talked about, you know, when I could see that the business was more than just a hobby, that it had potential, she talked about how if you develop your avocation, your hobby, that eventually it may result in a business.
Mm.
So that's what we did. We just walked through the doors that got open, and he did open them one by one.
Mm. Tell us a little bit about Urban Homemaker, Marilyn, and the sorts of products that you handle, the sorts of things you've done over the years.
Well, the business started out just selling bread baking equipment.
Okay.
And then it moved more towards products for better health because I got so many questions, you know, what about dehydrating, what about canning, what about juicing? And so not knowing any of those things, I had to learn, I had to, you know, research the products and be able to answer questions. And so it was just kind of a growing experience in the business. Then around the, you know, right before year 2000 when a lot of people were preparing for Y2K, the business went skyrocketing into the preparedness area.
Uh-huh, right.
And of course then it dropped off dramatically.
So you've seen boom and bust. I mean, you know, it's not always a bowl of cherries. There's some good days and some bad days. And there's a great variation in how a home business functions. It's usually not super stable all the time.
That is true.
Mm-hmm.
That is true, and that is scary. I mean, when Wayne had come home full-time for about a year or two, one of our major suppliers decided that they weren't going to sell to us anymore.
Mm.
And so that was a really scary time. I thought the business was done then. And then somewhere around that same time frame or the following year, I can't remember exactly, a magazine that I was writing for stopped publishing. And that was our main source of leads. So, again, I thought the business was over with then. That was back in, you know, mid-90s. And here I am. I'm still in business almost 18 years later.
Well, you know, I just studied Isaac and the whole experience he had in the land of the Philistines, where you remember the Philistines were always filling in his wells. Every time he got a little leg up in the business, somebody came and filled up one of his wells, and he had to go out there and dig another well, and then dig another well, and dig another well. And I think that's the way entrepreneurism is. Somebody's going to be filling in your wells, and you got to just keep on keeping on. And yet you still got to feed the family.
Right. You definitely have to always have your eye towards developing your business. If you think that you can, you know, when it gets to a successful level and maybe plateaus, if you think that you can keep running a business the same way you always have, no, it's not going to work because somebody is going to throw in your well, somebody is going to start competing with you directly, and you're going to have a loss of business. Something's going to happen, and so you always need to be, you know, teaching yourself and training yourself. And my father was very big when I was young. I will say this, although he wasn't an entrepreneur, he always talked about you're never too old to learn. You always can learn. You can teach yourself. You've always got to be learning. And so I think that's true in a business. You need to be seeing what's happening in the marketplace and how you can take advantage of that.
What have you
structure your business to move into a new area?
Mm-hmm. What have you learned, Marilyn, in terms of finances? I mean, I'm sure you've made a few mistakes in your time, but just looking back, what would you say concerning finances, concerning debt, concerning saving, concerning any of those things? What are the sorts of things you would recommend to those just starting out on the entrepreneurial endeavors?
Well, I certainly know it would be wonderful to have some money behind you when you start your business.
Okay.
We didn't have a dime. We just walked through the doors and saved the money, reinvested in the business for several years before Dwayne even came home. I think that you want to be as debt-free as possible, but I think that you have to be in touch with the Lord and go through the doors that he opens for you. You can't operate in fear, but yes, you have to live within your means and, you know, live as debt-free as possible in your business. I don't know how else to say it.
Yeah.
And
Now you have...
Our business actually incurred some really terrific debts that startled us. They caught us off guard. And it's been a long journey to get out of debt.
Now, you have three children. You've been homeschooling, now 25, 20, and 15 years of age. Throughout this process, you were homeschooling your children, even as you were working this home-based entrepreneurial venture. How did you integrate that?
That was always a challenge for me because my natural inclination is to focus on the business and the entrepreneur thing. I mean, I didn't know that, but that is my natural focus. And so I had to really discipline the family with the schedule, you know, that we started school at 9 and we, you know, stopped at lunchtime and then we picked up again after lunch. And so I tried hard to limit my business involvement to afternoons, but I can honestly say that there were often interruptions.
Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you can integrate your children into the business, and I always talk about life integration as essential in any kind of education process. If you can't integrate the things you're learning into life, you've really kind of got a half-baked education anyway. So you do have this great opportunity to start integrating some things into real life for your children so they can be involved at points in the business.
Right. And, of course, the challenge is when you have much younger children, they probably can't answer the phone or order inventory or, you know, do the shipping or a variety of the jobs, but you can find jobs for them to do.
Yeah.
And of course, my kids always were required to be involved.
And initially, it's sort of hard delegating to an 8-year-old and a 9-year-old, but once you've trained them in some of these areas, they can engage. That's one of the things I've noticed about my children. It takes a little time. You got to have some patience and you're going to make some mistakes along the way, but you can train some young children to do some pretty amazing things.
That is true. My daughter did our shipping for all 4 years of high school, and sometimes that took 4 hours a day.
Wow. That's impressive. That's impressive. Now, the other thing I've learned, and I think this is a little bit of a no-brainer, I actually came home from the corporate world about 10 years ago. And I have integrated, you know, my family into a lot of the ministry work that we do, including the Generations broadcast. My son does editing on most of the programs here. But I have noticed this, and that is that the people who are closest to you are the hardest to love. I mean, I'm guessing you know what I'm talking about here. When you start working with these people, and they can irritate you. You know, it can be a challenge here, working through some spiritual issues.
Yes, I definitely would agree with that. I would say the first thing that usually will crop up is resentment and anger because so-and-so is not doing what you are expecting to do.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, they're resentful that you're expecting whatever you're expecting. And so these conflicts develop. And that can happen between husband and wife and parents and children and vice versa. So there needs to be a lot of communication and a lot of prayer. And I do believe that God hones our character through the process. And
well,
he is faithful.
I can remember the first time that my wife and I tiled together. Now, we tiled a good part of the downstairs here when we finished our basement. And now, you know, I can do some wonderful things. And my wife can do some wonderful things, and together we make a wonderful team. I you know, my wife's very detail oriented, and I am not. Is one of the big differences here, but we complement ourselves each other wonderfully. But it just seemed like it was such a process to try to learn how to function together in that environment. And I think, yeah, it just takes a lot of patience and a lot of forgiveness and a lot of humility and willingness to you know, come back and say, you know, I'm sorry, I was a little impatient there. I think I spoke in too sharp of a tone with you at that point. And if that kind of stuff is going on, and you're working through the issues together, in the end, it can be a wonderful relationship, and you can actually accomplish some good things as a family.
Well, I would agree with that. Definitely, you know, your personalities will complement each other. My husband is a detailed person, and I'm not.
Okay.
Yeah, I can see real benefits of, you know, working through the issues, but it can be very difficult, and there does need to be a lot of forgiveness. Also, I think a woman, you know, in my case, it was my hobby, my business, and my husband came home and took it over, so I had to learn to submit in a new way because he wanted to run it his way.
Right. Sure. Did he always support the business? I mean, is this something he thought was a good thing for the family?
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah,
I mean, it was really his vision. It was his desire. It was always his desire to be home with the kids, be available for them. And he was very thankful to have the business to be home. I don't think he had any regrets.
Now, I know part of your commitment is to see others involved in entrepreneurism, and you like to support others in their ventures. But let me ask you this. Do you think that everybody is cut out for entrepreneurism?
No.
Okay.
No, I don't think so. I think it's partly a God-given gift. I mean, I didn't have any clue I had any entrepreneurial blood in me until the hobby just kind of started opening doors.
Okay.
And then especially when Dwayne came home, I was just always full of ideas. And he would say to me, you know, I can't do everything that you want me to do. I would need three of me to do everything that you come up with. You know, and he would have to sift through the ideas. And he would say to me, I don't know how you come up with these ideas. I don't have any of these ideas. So I think it's partly a God-given gift. Uh-huh. I really do.
Things like creativity, certainly a motivation for it. And it does appear to require somebody who is willing to take some risks.
Well, you do. You do have to take some risks. And you do have to, you know, well, somebody told Dwayne when he was just starting to look into self-employment that when you go into business, God gets your attention. He wants Christians to go into business because he wants to get their attention. And so you have to decide if you're willing to engage in that kind of a relationship with the Lord, that you can trust him, that you no longer have corporate benefits and corporate security and a steady paycheck. You have to decide if you're willing to go there.
It's a test of faith.
It is a test of faith. It's totally a walk of faith, I think.
And it's always a test of faith. I mean, we should probably talk for just a moment how things have changed since Dwayne passed away. It's still a challenge. It's got to be a challenge for you. How have things changed? What have you learned since then?
I guess I would say I have learned that I can trust God at a deeper level. When Dwayne passed away, I was left with a very significant debt and, of course, no computer skills whatsoever. I mean, yes, I can use a computer, but as far as systems to run a business, I had no clue. And then my system fell apart. I mean, I had to really trust God in a lot of areas. You know, I had three children. I had a business to run. It took two of us to do it. There was one of me left. Yes, I really had to learn to trust God in a deeper way, but I have found that he has been faithful to get me through all of it and to help me pay off debts and to move me into a new direction now.
Wow. Do you still have a pretty healthy income from the business?
God has provided for me.
Good.
Totally.
Fantastic.
Through the year in a very good way.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. What's the new direction?
What I envision is, because I have a large mailing list of people, who many of whom are entrepreneurial and have small businesses, I want to, and that would be of interest to homemakers. Of course, that would be a criteria because my slogan is Homemaking Helps for Busy Moms. My previous slogan was Old-Fashioned Skills for Contemporary People. Mm-hmm. So I am looking for people who fit into that kind of a slogan, I guess, that, you know, they have a business that fits a homemaker, something that a homemaker could use or need or be interested in. I want to use my business as a platform and my website to help promote their business and to encourage women in the spirit of Titus II, homemakers.
That's a wonderful concept. That's a wonderful concept, Marilyn, and I want to direct people to your website, urbanhomemaker.com, where they can get some of that information. I know that that's coming on here in just a few months, but I hope that more people will connect with your ministry, because I know you offer so many good products and, of course, the good services. So let me direct folks to your website, urbanhomemaker.com. You've been such a blessing to our family, I know, over the years, and many, many others. So I want to thank you for all that you've done, and thank you for joining us today on Generations.
Well, it's been my pleasure, and I've enjoyed talking with you, Kevin.
Again, folks, don't forget to check out Marilyn Mole's website at urbanhomemaker.com. And you have been listening to the Generations Radio broadcast as we bring a vision for family, for home-based economies, for reintegrating the family, restructuring, re-relevantizing the family in the 21st century. That's what we're all about here at Generations. And you can email us at host@kevinswanson.com if you've got a comment or a contribution to the program. And you can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson, and I want to invite you back again next time as we cast a vision for the next generation.
Imagine a summer camp for the whole family. A camp with some great messages that will encourage your family to live and love together the way God has laid out in His Word. Imagine a 5-day camp with some of the best nationally known speakers on the family. A 5-day camp priced from $155. That's $155 for the whole family. We have obtained the use of one of the largest campgrounds in the West for this camp. Your family will hear inspiring messages on relationships and loving the family from some of the familiar voices carried on the Generations Radio broadcast. And there will be plenty of time for relaxing fellowship, hiking, volleyball, softball, high ropes course, paintball, miniature golf, horseshoes, shuffleboard, frisbee golf, tennis, ping pong, paddle boats, and canoeing. We have priced this camp so it will be affordable to the largest families with the lowest income in a tough economy. To register or just check out a little more information on this camp, visit our website, renewingthefamily.com. That's renewingthefamily.com.
Hello, folks. This is Kevin Swanson. Part of my vision as a father is to leave an inheritance for my children and protect the resources God has given me. That's why when I invest in these economic times, I use Cornerstone Capital Investment. Cornerstone Capital Investment is a visionary company founded by Chad Roach, a homeschooled young man and one of the senior staff members of the Generations Ministry. Cornerstone Capital Investment has sold nearly $1 million of gold and silver bullion in the last 6 months alone, and they've served families from all over the United States and Canada. Visit them online at cornerstonecapitalinvestment.com or call Chad at 303-956-3455. That's 303-956-3455.